Amen. Thank God for his mercy.
Praise God.
How many is thankful for the mercy of Almighty God? Come on, give the Lord praise in this house this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what his mercy did for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing else would have helped. Nothing else could have helped. Except the mercy and the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many blessed folks we got in the house this morning? Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. We are very blessed. Amen. Blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Blessed to be born again. So good to see each and every one of you. Church, let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how welcome they are here this morning, how glad we are that they come to worship the Lord with us this morning. Now, we have a lot going on this morning. We're going to be opening the doors of the church to receive a wonderful family into this local fellowship here at First Pentecostal Church, followed by a baptism service for Sister America Mendez. We're going to have a wonderful time. Amen. And we had an opportunity to talk with Sister America, and she is so mature for her age, and she knows what baptism it represents, and she's ready to make that commitment. So had a wonderful talk and just enjoyed that so very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning for just a little while, we want to go to the book of Judges this morning. Praise God. Thank you, choir. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Give them a hand. Sometimes we don't really appreciate them like we need to, I think. They're just, we appreciate them so very much. In the book of Judges, we want to go to the 7th chapter this morning and begin with verse number 15. Wonderful story, a wonderful account. Amen, but this is what God has laid upon my heart this week as I begin to seek his guidance and just, I love to communicate with the Spirit of God. Amen. And I've learned that sometimes communicating means just listening. So many of my times and my opportunities that I go to the Lord, I'm babbling, I'm doing all the talking, but I've found out that sometimes it's more beneficial, more instrumental just to listen to what God would speak to our heart. Man, and he already knows what we're going through. He already knows the situation. He even knows the question even before we ask it, and he is the answer. So I thank God for that opportunity to communicate with God. In the book of Judges, chapter number 7, thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. We want to begin in verse number 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your many blessings, for your mercy, for your grace and love. For those who have gathered here today, Father, I pray that we will not leave disappointed. I pray, God, that you would infill us with your word, with your spirit, and with your anointing. God, if there's any needs in this house this morning, God, we know that you are the one that supplies our needs. God, if there's any sickness or affliction, we know that with your stripes we are healed. And Father, we pray, God, for those who are lost and undone today, praying, God, that they would seek you in an altar of repentance. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, to be an oracle and a vessel, that you might speak to our hearts this morning. We'll be grateful and thankful and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. One more hand clap of praise for Jesus, and you may be seated. Amen. This morning I'm going to use as a text, a trumpet, a jar, and a lamp. A trumpet, a jar or pitcher, and a lamp.
not your average or recommended weapons for warfare, I would suppose. I would imagine today if our great army was preparing for a battle, I would imagine these are some of the last things that would be on their list of things to carry into battle. But nevertheless, how many knows that God works in mysterious ways? And if you haven't learned it by now, God's going to get the glory.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Sometimes he takes away the opportunity for man to get the glory. If they had went into battle high strong with the swords, the bows, the spears, and all of that, and they would have overcome the enemy, then many times not only the Israelites, but even we ourselves sometimes when we fight those battles, and sometimes when we use our own strength, our own wisdom, our own fortitude, so many times we'll sit back and pat ourselves on the back and say, did we handle that really well? And God didn't get any glory from it. So God was going to take away all chances or all odds of anybody getting the glory but him. And he used a man by the name of Gideon. Let's look at Gideon for just a little while this morning. We find that this was a time of stress, a time of captivity again for the children of Israel. We find that Joshua had died and left the children of Israel without maybe a next person to lead them, and the children of Israel began to go away, and they began to stray, and they began to desire to be as other nations, and allowed the worship of idols into their congregation, which was a direct opposite of what God had told them to do. So we find that many of the Israelites were living in caves and in the mountains away from their homes and their cities. And the Bible tells us that when they would be productive and when they would plant their crops, that the Midianites would come in and destroy them or take them and steal their cattle and their livestock and reap the benefits of the harvest. And they just really had their hand of bondage upon them. And the Bible introduces us to a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon is out in the wheat field and there by the wine press, and he's threshing the wheat, and an angel appears to Gideon while he was there, and he begins to call him, "Thou mighty man of valor, that God is with thee." And imagine how you would be if on your job or whatever that you're doing on a daily routine, and an angel shows up and says that the Lord is with thee, thou mighty person of valor, and the Lord is requesting that you do something for him, and don't worry about it because he's going to be with you. First of all, we'd be so freaked out that an angel chose to probably visit us that we would be spellbound and not be able to listen to anything that he says. But how many knows that God appears to us sometimes in numerous ways, and we need to be able to discern the Spirit of God? So Gideon is quite taken back by this, and as well as he should be, as well as any of us would be if an angel appeared to us. And first thing that begins to come into his mind is that, well, if God is really for us, why is all this happening to us? Why are we not seeing his miracles? Now, I know there's no Gideons in the congregation today. I know there's no mindsets like that. We've never, ever had the opportunity or even the gall to ask God, why is this happening to me? We don't do that, do we, church? We never question God. We never say, Lord, if you're really God, why don't you let these things happen that I'm asking for? Why don't you answer my prayer? Why don't you send that anointing? Why don't you send that blessing? Why is the children of Israel under captivity? And if God was really God, if he was really for us, if we was really his people, then he would be sending down his miracles. And little did he realize that God was about to do a mighty work. Amen. Many, many times we can't see that God is about to do a mighty work. All we see is what's right before us. All we see is the trials, the tribulation, the persecution that we're now going through. But you know what? If we could just have the eyes of faith to see through that dreary curtain of unbelief, amen, and let God, the Spirit of God, pull that back and show us what's on the other side, I believe victory's right around the corner. I believe God is going to move in a mighty way. God has always moved for his children, and God will continue to move for his children. So Gideon, being the person that he was a little apprehensive and a little hesitant. Again, I know there's no Gideons in the congregation. We're always readily available and to answer the call of God. Whenever he calls, whatever he asks us to do, we're there ready to do it. We never hesitate. And we never ask him again, or we never say, Lord, you're going to have to give me a sign. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to make sure. Lord, I got to know that it's you. Thank God we got no spiritual Gideons in the congregation today. But Gideon, in his inability to comprehend the mind of God, said, Lord, you're just going to have to prove it to me. So the Lord speaks to him, he goes, and he makes some food, makes some meat there for the angel, and he puts it there on the rock, and he's going to watch this angel consume this food. Well, if there was ever any doubt before that, the angel touches that food on that rock with his staff, and fire comes out of that rock. Amen. You know when the first microwave was introduced? Amen. It wasn't in the 20th century. Amen. That angel touched that food. Amen. That flame came out of that rock, and Gideon was taken back, but you know what? And I know there's no Gideons in the congregation, but Gideon really didn't believe that. He said, wow, that's amazing. I know that that's God. But just to make sure, Lord, I need you to do it again. I need you to show me another sign, Lord. And this time I'm going to choose, and I'm going to put out a fleece. And I want you to let this fleece be wringing wet with the dew, but all around it I want you to let it be dry. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we try to ask God impossible things. Now, I know there's no Gideons in the congregation this morning. We've never asked God to do something that we thought was impossible. And when he did it, we said, wow, what a coincidence. But God, in his patience and in his love and in his direction and his knowing what was going to come, he knew Gideon was going to eventually succumb to his power. So he plays along and he lets the dew fall and it's dry completely around the fleece. And the next morning Gideon gets up and he squeezes the dew out of the fleece and knows that he said, Lord, just so that I know that you won't get angry at me, I just kind of want to make triply sure that this is really what you want me to do. So if you won't be upset with me, I'm going to ask you one more thing. I'm going to put the fleece back out, and this time you let the dew be all around the fleece and let the fleece be dry. Boy, if there's an scapegoat or an outlet, we'll try to find it, won't we? Rather than just simply obeying the word of God. So God, that's the next morning, and the dew comes down and it soaks the grass and all around the fleece, and Gideon goes there and he picks up the fleece and it's just as dry and fluffy as it possibly can be. I don't know what else we need to understand. When God tells us to do something, he hasn't mistakenly identified us as somebody else. He's called you. He's called you for a certain purpose. We don't even need to put the fleece out. We just simply say, Lord, I know that I'm nothing but with you. I can do all things. Lord, I know where my strength comes from. I know where my anointing comes from. I know where my ministry comes from. It all gives honor and glory to you, Lord. Thank you for calling me. God, I just want to be submissive to your will. So Gideon agrees. And Gideon begins to prepare his army. He takes his cell phone out and he begins to call the 12 tribes, Naphtali and Manasseh and Asher. And he calls them and says, hey, buddies, I know we've been in captivity too long. And I know that I can count on you and I need you. This is a time. Have you ever had anybody say, you call me if you need me? I'm sorry, you've reached the phone of Eddie Allen. I can't be available right now. If you'll leave a message, I'll be sure to get right back to you. Well, you know. But anyway, as he began to call for these other soldiers, for these brethren, for the house of Israel, they began to come. Not in great waves, but they begin to come. We're fighting for victory. We know that we'll be with our brother's side. And so these men begin to come. And the Bible tells us some 32,000 begin to come from these different tribes. And I would imagine Gideon's feeling pretty good now. But he's also got an idea. Being the commander that he is, he knows what the enemy is all about. And he knows the size of their army. And somebody told me, and I actually read in a couple of places, where Bible scholars kind of estimated the Median army to be somewhere in the excess of 135,000. I don't know where they got that number. The Bible says they were too many to be numbered. They was as the locusts on the side of the hills, and so many that they couldn't be numbered. And Gideon sees these 32,000 men come, and he's feeling pretty good, because let me tell you something, Gideon by now knows that God is able. He knows we can take these 32,000 and we can march into the camp of Midian, and through the power of God and through the sword of God, we will be victorious. And just as he's getting fired up for revival, and just as he's getting fired up for church growth, and just as he's getting fired up, amen, to go forth in the name of the Lord, God says, Gideon. Now, I know we got no spiritual Gideons in the congregation. But sometimes after we've seen the power of God and we've seen him experiment or experience, amen, his ability to perform miracles time and time again and to show us signs after signs. And God speaks to us and says, Gideon, I can't use them. You got too many. Now I know that we don't see through the same eyes as Gideon does, but Gideon said, Lord, have you looked? Have you looked over the hill? Have you seen that all that 135,000 and you're saying 32,000 of my men is too many? But Gideon, you're not going to get the glory for this. You're not going to get the honor for this. I'm using you so that my will be done. I'm using you so that I will get the glory. So that Israel will turn from their backslidden condition. So that Israel may turn from the worship of idolatry and turn back to me. Gideon, have you realized it's not about you? It's about God. So Gideon, here's what you do. You tell all of those men who are fearful of their lives that they're free to go back home. So imagine Gideon gets on the bullhorn, kind of make an announcement. If there's anybody in this crowd that would like to go home and return home and maybe don't really want to fight today, you're excused. And free to go. And he sees this mad rush of humanity. Whoosh. God, wait a minute. I was expecting a couple of hundred. There's 22,000 people leaving. God said, do you want Gideon? I still can't use them. Oh, wait a minute, God. I'm going to fight an enemy that's too numerous to count. As the locusts on the side, as the seas or the sands on the seashore. And you're telling me 10,000 is too many? But Gideon, you've got to understand, it's not about you. You're not going to receive the honor. You're not going to receive the accolades. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what, Gideon. I'm going to take it out of your hands. I'm going to try myself. And he brought them down to the brook. And you know the story. Those 10,000 men that began to drink, only 300 of them actually dipped the water up and lapped it. You know why? Because they was looking constantly. God said, with these 300 men, we're going to win the battle. Hallelujah. So Gideon, maybe if he had an opportunity for his faith to slip a little bit when God took it out of his hands and God began to move, maybe Gideon's feeling a little bit more strengthened in the spirit. You've been there when God keeps changing your mind and finally you're about ready to be submissive and you're about ready to be obedient and you're pumping yourself up again and you say, oh, okay, God. All right, yeah. I know it's not about me. I know it's all about you. We're going to do it, Lord. I'm going to stand back. I'm going to see the salvation of God. I'm going to see you move and it's going to be great and wonderful and here's what I need to do, God. You know, since you've whittled it down to 300, here's what I need to do. God said, wait a minute, Gideon. Don't get ahead of yourself. Listen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it my way. You know, the Bible tells us that there's a history of three divisions. The Israelites under Moses did it. David did it under his command. Other generals, you know, would do it. And Saul did it, you know, divide them up. But let me tell you something. When you're dividing up 300, three goes into 300. Lord, that's only 100 men divisions. That's right, Gideon. That's what we want to do. Okay, Gideon's written. Okay, this God's going to use this battle technique. But now here, Gideon, here's where it's probably not going to make a lot of sense to you, but I need your absolute and complete submissiveness and obedience unto my word. When God tells you that, look out. Because it ain't going to make a bit of sense to you. You're going to try to analyze it. You're going to try to figure it out. But you know what? You can't, because your mind and my mind is nowhere near the mind and power and thoughts of God. He's already got the victory in his hand. He already knows how he's going to do it. You can't change his mind. I can't change his mind. I don't know why we'd even try. We just need to be submissive and obedient. Say, God, to you be the glory. Man. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put a trumpet in every man's right hand. Don't know about any Gideons here in the congregation, but if you was a Gideon and you was a general, you'd think it. Most people are dominantly right-handed people. There's some southpaws and left-handed people, but, you know, as a ratio, as a percentage, most have been right-hand. He didn't say it, but maybe thought, God, maybe that's where their sword needs to be. If you're hunting, you know, you're going to have a bugle in your right hand. or a deer call. You're going to put that deer call in your right hand. You say, beep, 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 whatever. No, you're going to have your rifle in your, because there's your dominant hand. But he didn't say nothing. Well, I know God can have taken, we'll whoop them with southpaws. No, get in their left hand. I want you to put a pitcher or a jar or a clay vessel. And inside this clay vessel, I want you to place a lamp. Now, it's not a lamp like we understand today. It's a torch. That's basically what it was. And it was a torch that was usually made out of a certain kind of wood. And when you ignited or lit the end of this torch, it would burn for an extended period of time. But it would not blaze up unless you pulled it out of the container and let the air or the oxygen hit it. Amen. And then it would blaze up in glory. Well, you don't see it, do you? I said, as long as it's in that little clay jar, it's just a little spark. You don't see it very much. But God said, when you break that mold, amen, when you break that barrier, when you break that human aspect around it, amen, and you let that torch shine, and you let the oxygen hit it, it begins to show, it begins to blaze, it begins to glory, amen, in the power of God. I want you to, when you get there and blow those trumpets, and I want you to break those jars, those vessels and of clay. Man. God, you mean sometimes that our vessels need to be broken in order for our light to shine? How come I didn't see that, God? How come I'm looking at the natural and you're way ahead of me, and for in order for that torch to blaze up, in order for that Holy Ghost power to ignite, in order for that anointing, amen, to begin to combust, before that spirit, amen, can be loosed and set free, there needs to be not just the taking out of the vessel, that vessel needs to be destroyed, that vessel needs to be broken, that vessel needs to be cracked, amen, so that thing is within that vessel can shine forth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I know there's no Gideons in the congregation today, but this old Gideon is thinking, Lord, trumpet in the right hand, jar or vessel in the left hand, sword where? God, I need to stick somebody. This is a battle, right? I need to air condition them Midianites. Them Midianites. Their They've stole our food. They've stole our cattle. They've come in and pilfered. They've come in and ransacked us. They've had us down for so long. And now they think they're going to completely annihilate us. Lord, where can I get my revenge? It's going to be hard if you've got a trumpet in your right hand and a pitcher in your left hand. And then you still got to get your light out of that left hand. You just leave your sword in its sheath and its scabbard. You don't need to stick nobody. You don't need to puncture anyone. Did not I tell you this is my battle? Amen. I will fight for you. You don't have to do it. Put your swords up. Let your light shine. Keep your sword in your shield. Blow the trumpet of victory. Blow the trumpet. Amen. To let us know. And the trumpets were used for such occasions as telling the people to assemble. I'm blowing the trumpet. Tell the people to assemble. Tell them it's time to march. Tell them it's time to get victory. You don't have to stick nobody. You don't have to use a sword. You don't have to fight. You just have to obey God. God will be victorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Why a trumpet? Because it was a call. A call to assemble. An alarm. A call to war. A command to march. A pitcher. We don't want these lights to shine till the time I tell you. Amen. You know, what gave Gideon finally the courage and the faith and the initiative to obey God? He had God fulfill three. So we call them fleeces today because Gideon started this. I want you to do this, and God did it. That's pretty good. I want you to do this, God did it. Well, he did it again. But what gave, God said, I want you to march right into the enemy's camp. Have you ever said, God, I just want to take back what the enemy has stolen from me. I don't want to be bound anymore. I don't want to be apologetic for being a Christian anymore. I don't want to just sit back and think that I don't have the right to speak up and say, I'm a born again Christian and proud of it. He's my God and I love him. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm even prouder to be a child of God. You see, the devil has made it he's made it a political issue to even stand forth and proclaim that you're born again. God says, I want you to just go right down into the enemy's camp. Let me tell you something. I want to tell all of us something this morning. The enemy is not nearly as strong and as powerful as we sometimes make him out to be. As a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. As a ravenous wolf, he's trying to tear you apart. But my Bible tells me that greater is he that is within me than he that is against me. I want you to go into the enemy's camp. I want you to just listen how afraid the enemy is. And if you're afraid to go, take your brother with you. And his brother walks down there with him. Not his natural brother, but one of his comrades. And he goes down there and he begins to listen. And one of the enemy says, I had a dream. And I dreamed this barley cake rolled into the camp. And it rolled against the tent. And it tore the tent down. And the other fellow said, that is nothing but more than the Lord, the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. He will begin to be afraid. And they let them know, amen, that right there the enemy was not nearly as big and as bad and as boisterous as sometimes we make them out to be. Can I tell you, there are already jittery. Boy, if they'll be afraid of a barley cake, wait till the power of God rolls in. Hallelujah. So here's Gideon. And he takes 100. And he splits another 100 off there. And he splits another 100 off there. And this is a little bit later where I was excited all through it. Even before I opened my Bible and read it, I began to contemplate. I began to think about the story of Gideon and how God intervened. And I preached all over this thing before, but I never really the significance of the trumpet and the jar and the lamp and they split off and I began to read a little bit about it, the history and the wars and the battles that went on. Usually there was a trumpet blower in each division. One trumpet blower in each division, which usually represented 50 to 100,000 men.
Come on now. Preach it, brother.
Come on now.
Come on.
Yeah. 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 Got you. Come on.
So if an army of 300,000 were encircling the Midian camp, and they heard the trumpets blow completely encircling them. This trumpet blow representing 100,000 men. And this trumpet blow representing another 100,000 men. And this trumpet blow representing another 100,000 men. They heard 300 trumpets blow in unison. Amen. I can tell you that it don't take 300,000 to praise the glory down. Amen. But if every one of us is willing to blow forth the trumpet of praise, to blow forth the trumpet, amen, of adoration, of exaltation, there's no telling how many demons in hell will wake up and tremble and shudder the very fact that the church is beginning to blow the trumpet of warfare. Glory to God. Especially while the enemy's trying to sleep. Imagine waking up to the sound of 300 trumpets. It alarms me when one alarm clock goes off. Imagine 300 trumpets. And while they're trying to figure out the blowing of 300 trumpets, someone got their calculator out. How many men is that? Not really. Then all of a sudden, they break those pitchers. Let me tell you what the 300 men didn't have to do.
Have you got any matches? Did you bring my big lighter?
Just a thought. What if one service we came, every torch was darn lit?
Oh.
Just a concept. Just a thought. Not I need a song to light my torch. They didn't sing my song. My torch ain't lit. That preacher preaching too long. My torch done went out. It got it so cold in here, my torch won't burn. Got any matches? No. Those torches were lit. They were smoldering. All they needed was just to be released. Oh, hallelujah. Did you come to church this morning with your torch just a smoldering? Amen. All it needed was a little oxygen from the Holy Ghost. All it needed was just to be let go out of this body. Glory to God. I'm going to strip away all the chains, everything that has me bound. I'm going to break that earthen vessel. I'm going to shine that torch. It's going to flash all over the church. It's going to flash all over my family. It's going to burn all over America. Amen. I can feel two torches coming through this morning. I can feel two earthen vessels being broke. Praise God. Would you wave it to Jesus? Lord, we're ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 300 trumpets in unison sounded out the battle cry to charge. 300 lamps came forth out of the earthen vessels. to illuminate the skies all the way around. Notice, the Bible doesn't state that one sword was drawn. The Bible doesn't state that one arrow was shot into the enemy's camp. The Bible doesn't tell us that one spear was thrown or one blow was cast. Why? Because the enemy was running, crying, and fleeing at the hand of God. Hallelujah. At the hand of God. Glory to God. You may have been battling for a long, long time. Amen. But maybe you've been trying to win it in your power, in your ability, in your intellect. Amen. Maybe you've even wanted to stick somebody. Let God do the sticking. Amen. We ain't got time to stick folks. Amen. We got to love folks. Amen. We got to pray for folks and lift folks up. Amen. God will fight the battles. God will see the way to victory. He is our victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. The enemy ran, cried, and fled. And the sword stayed in the sheath. The sword was never drawn. Hallelujah. Oh, I know they went on to fight battles after that. I know that even Gideon and some of the others chased them. But that battle was so well organized by the hand of God. Every move. Every aspect. God, help me to be that dependent on you. Help me not to interject my thoughts, my opinions, my experience. God, I can't even see into the next minute. And you hold the whole future in your hands. God, I just want to be submissive. Just want to be obedient. I just want to love you. Amen. So if it takes a trumpet, a jar, and a lamp to win the battle, so be it. So be it. Amen. I think sometimes our spiritual hands needs to be so occupied that we can't reach for our sword. I think they need to be so submissive unto God that we don't naturally grab a bow and we don't naturally grab a spear. But we say, Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. God, I just want to be submissive to you. Hallelujah. The battle's not ours. It belongs to God. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise. We're so honored this morning. A young man that I've been knowing for a while, worked with him. I know he's a dedicated family man, a dedicated person to his job, and love his sweet wife. She's just I tell you what, Billy, you done good, son. You married a good woman, and I see you both good for each other, and I thank God for that. And they've expressed a desire to become members of First Pentecostal Church here in Villarica, and I could not be prouder. The people that I worked with down there, I kind of like to call them my family anyway, because my wife said, you actually spend more time with them than you do me. And that's kind of the nature of the bread business. And she was probably right to spend a lot of time with them. But in doing so, you get to know people really, really well. And you create a relationship and love for those that you work with. And this is certainly the case with Billy Gaddis and with Autumn Gaddis, his wife. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to have them come forward. And we're going to give them the right hand of fellowship here in the local assembly of First Pentecostal Church. And immediately after that, we're going to go back and get ready. In fact, we may do that while you're coming around, giving them right hand of fellowship. And we're going to get ready for a baptism for America. And I loved her testimony. I loved her testimony when she was back there. You would think you was talking to a 16 or 17-year-old young lady, and she's probably 9. Eight. Hey, wow. It's amazing. But you know what? When they know, and they know that they're ready, and they know what baptism is all about, that's the time, amen, to put them in that watery grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 talks about the body of Christ. It says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. In Philippians 2, chapter 2, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So biblically and scripturally, we are urged and actually instructed to love one another as a body of Christ. We are all part of the same body. So, Brother Billy and Sister Autumn, would you come forward this morning and stand before the congregation? And let's give them a hand as they come. And Gentry's coming. Some of their children couldn't be here today. Jacob is in service, and some of the others are not able to be here this morning, so we just love them very much. And we invite and just gladly receive them all into the fellowship of First Pentecostal Church. Dearly beloved, the Scriptures teach us that the church is the body of which Christ is the head. The great family which bears the name of Christ is the army which follows him as captain. We are related to each other as members of his body, as brothers and sisters in this great household. We are in fact fellow soldiers in his victorious army. Into this holy relationship, the persons before us come now to join this local assembly and hereby receive full membership into the First Pentecostal Church of Villa Rica, Georgia. We hope as a church to be a source of help and strength to this family as they strive to live the Christian life, and trust that you in turn will be a source of help and strength to us. Billy and Autumn, may the Lord bless you in your service to him, and we hereby welcome and receive you into the membership of this church and cordially extend to you the right hand of fellowship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at this time, let me be the very first to extend...